And while they're kind of doing their thing, again, thank you very, very much for your showering us with love and gifts and cards, but also don't want to miss this wonderful team we call Motley Free Methodist. These last 30 days have been a joy to just sit back and watch this well-oiled machine just run and purr. It was just beautiful to see all the team members and board members and leaders just do their thing. If I could use a term of football analogy, not one fumble. We scored. You guys are awesome, and it was just beautiful to see everybody do things that they just to not even a hiccup. It is just beautiful to see all the church pull together and do what they did and how they did it so quickly and so efficiently. What a blessing. So thank you. We'll be glad to have Pastor Jim back with us this next Sunday and back in the office tomorrow. And it's just wonderful. So thank you very much. If you look on your prayer list, many names, many issues, many opportunities to intercede on behalf of others. So before we get to the message, let's have a time to pray for these. Holy and righteous God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. What an amazing love you have for us, that you would send your son Jesus to die for us, to give us life and a new life that is free of the past because of your great forgiveness and redeeming power that you show to us, that we can pursue holiness, that we can have victory over those things our adversary so desperately tries to defeat us with. Thank you for the words that were shared with us from someone else, that we could hear the gospel and accept that from you. Father, we're grateful for this church and for this wonderful place that you have given to us, built through the hands of many people who were faithful and continue to be faithful and sold out to your son, Jesus. Help us all to come together and stay together as that church that you have built. And we're so thankful that your son, Jesus, spoke those words to Peter, that upon him the rock would be built, and the gates of hell would not prevail ever against the church. Thank you, Father, for that assurance that you are with us and building this along with us to further the kingdom. We thank you that we can pray for all these names and people that we see, for those you have brought through surgery, for those that you're walking the path of healing, for these small children that even don't understand their dilemmas and health needs. But like the great shepherd in Psalm 23, you comfort them and you guide them and you defend for them. For those, Father, that are in the care centers, for those that are on duty, for all our first responders and medical personnel, our military, everyone standing watch this very hour, protect them and give them peace. For this time together, as we prepare for the table that your Son made possible, may, Father, we truly gaze upon the juice and the bread as we contemplate taking that today. For this time together, we give you thanks and praise that your answers are already according to your will and working long before we even asked. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen. Second Timothy. We're continuing our journey on following Jesus, discipleship, and what that looks like. This, again, is another part of that, and it involves us. And it's a hard thing to teach. It was no different for John Wesley back in the 1700s. It's no different for us today. Because where the line gets drawn in the sand is discipline. Your heart really needs to want this. It's free will, and Jesus bids us to take the initiative to grow, to be disciples, and to learn, and to be challenged. So we're going to learn that today. Got a little Latin for you, so I hope that's not too bad. We'll learn here today. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Part of the letter that Paul had for Timothy. Verses just 1 and 2. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. A little more understandable that way. Timothy, my dear son, be strong with the special favor God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Teach these great truths to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. I think many of you have heard of St. John Chrysostom, the Archbishop of Constantinople, that's kind of modern-day Turkey, back in the 600s. That was a little while ago. But he said this of Jesus in relation to the church. He said he, that is Jesus, espoused her as a wife. He loves her as a daughter. He provides for her as a handmaid. He guards her as a virgin. He fences round her like a garden and cherishes her like a member. As a head, he provides for her. As a root, he causes her to grow. As a shepherd, he feeds her. As a bridegroom, he weds her. As a propitiation, he pardons her. As a sheep, he is sacrificed. Many are the meanings in order that we may enjoy a part of it, be it but a small part of the divine economy of grace. The church is indeed the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is a living organism. That means it should not be misunderstood or misinterpreted as an organization. The church is living because the church is truly indeed people. It's you, and it is me, and it's millions and millions of our brothers and sisters all around the world united together in common bond of Jesus Christ, who is the head of that living church. It is sacred, and it is holy, and is to be entrusted with care because it is living, and because it is us, we care for her in such sacredness. I like what our Free Methodist Church says about the church itself. In the Book of Discipline, it says this: the church is the organic corporate instrument God has chosen to remake people and society. It is a mission of holy love. The church exists to produce Christ-likeness in all people and their institutions. Thus, our mission may be described as participation with God in bringing holiness and love to bear upon the sins, the hurts, and needs of all people. This description of our mission is both individual and social, end quote. I think nothing could be more crucial for us today in this modern 21st century than to grasp that concept, that understanding of what the church truly, honestly is. We need to rethink the purpose of the church and what the church really is in terms of why it exists and why Jesus said to Peter, "Upon you, the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church." The mission of the church is not just to be open on Sunday for worship services, and neither is the church just Sunday events or Sunday Bible studies or weekly children events and holiday programs. Remember, the church is not an organization. that exist solely just for the purpose of having studies and programs and events to attend in the building. Now remember, the church is an organism. It's living. It's made up of people who are the church. The church isn't a building. It's not a built structure, a physical location. It is, remember, you and it's me and all our brothers and sisters around the world. It is a people. And we have been called and commissioned to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by proclaiming the good news of God's grace and by exemplifying Jesus' command that we are to love God and we are to love our neighbor just as we love ourselves. I honestly do believe we fail as Christians and then we collectively fail as a team, as the church, if we are not obeying these commands or fulfilling this commission that Jesus gave to us. This isn't going to happen if all we do is just meet once on Sunday. It's a 7-day-a-week kind of program. It's a lifestyle. It's a life change for a lot of us. Somehow and somewhere in our lives and daily schedules, we honestly need to just take the initiative and look for ways to build and incorporate our faith into every aspect of our lives. I think it's just crazy if our culture loves to compartmentalize things. This is my civic things, and then this other drawer in my cabinet, this is my employment things, and this is my family, and we have all these separate components when we should look more of it as a wagon wheel, and the hub of that wheel is our faith. Everything comes from faith and from the commands of Christ. And if it doesn't belong there, then it doesn't belong there. You don't try to force it. We have too many square pegs and round holes. We need to do what Christ has told us to do. And one of the ways that we can fulfill this command comes from our scripture passage today. So we're going to launch from this and hope that it will be of help to you, because I do believe this is probably one of the most important ways, a call from Scripture in which to fulfill this command of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, here Paul simply writes a letter to Timothy. He's asking him basically, don't hoard everything to yourself. I've taught you a lot of things, and you have actually witnessed me do a lot of things by example. So Timothy, I don't want you to hoard all the things you were taught to yourself. Don't keep to yourself all these things you've learned from me. So Paul is simply charging Timothy, share the wealth of your knowledge. Give it away. Teach others. Show others how to teach and carry on the tradition. It's a matter of passing things on and giving it away and let others know all these things I've given to you. Think of it just like your money. You put it in an interest-bearing account because you want to invest, you want it to multiply, you want it to grow. That's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy to do. Invest the gospel into the lives of other people so that they too can take that knowledge and pass it on to other people as well. So three words that we take from our message today: share, empower, multiply. Three key components to what Paul is telling to Timothy. Share, empower, and multiply. Because really, if you think, how did we all get here? Why are we sitting here today? Isn't that a sobering reality to you, to me? That the good news and the saving message of Jesus Christ that you accepted, that I accepted, was shared with us by someone who also had someone share the gospel with them. The one who led you to Christ was at one point in their life sitting with someone having it shared to them. We're all here due to what I call multiplication. It's nice to know that we had someone share the gospel with us. Share, empower, multiply. We are called to a ministry of multiplication. We're entrusted with the gospel, And we must engage others and pass that along, who in turn can take it and pass it along to others as well. That's why I like to take a look at the word teach that Paul uses in verse 2. The Greek word, he says, for teach means to impart instruction. It means to explain, to expound. And the one I like the most, it says to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. The easiest way to do that is simply spend time with others. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But that's kind of what we need to do. That's why the message has a little funny look to it. Now, it's not scrambled alphabet. That's actually Latin. Ecclesiole in ecclesia. It means little churches within the church. Little churches within the church. That's why you have to remember the concept. The church is a living organism. It's people. We are the little churches. The church is a living organism, a people. And we collectively are here together as one, as the church. But he's addressing the need for all of us to break down into smaller little groups, those little churches. He's saying to Timothy, you need to get partnered up with these smaller groups outside the church. John Wesley, which most of you are familiar with, Methodism, that's where we get our word Methodist. John Wesley called these small groups that met together outside of the collective church, he called them bands. Now, this is almost the third tier down. You have the fellowship, you have the church, then they break down into smaller, what he called classes. That's your Sunday schools, your Awana, all the groups, the men's, the women's groups. But then there's those smaller, tiny, intimate groups called bands. These were designed to get 2, 3, 4, possibly 6 small group where people can come together, accountability, supervision, spiritual growth, to pray, to learn scripture. But I like Wesley's thinking on these bands. One of the favorite questions, in fact, it was mandatory. You had to ask this question. It was Wesley's favorite. How is it with your soul? Can you answer that? How is it with your soul? We need each other. We need to pray together in these smaller groups. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to be accountable to learning God's word, living God's word, and sharing God's word with others. That's why I found it even more fascinating in verse 2, that word entrust. The Greek word can mean deposit, just like you'd put money in the bank. We must examine ourselves and just be point blank honest. Am I being intentional with making spiritual deposits in the lives of other people? Am I being intentional by praying, fellowshipping with them, gathering with them, holding each other accountable and saying, how is it with my soul? How is it with your soul today? We invest God's word. It helps us to become spiritually healthy people who practice their faith and share the gospel. So that is the most important thing that we can do outside of this collective group called the church. We need to be the little churches outside of the big church, meeting together. Maybe for you it's one-on-one. Maybe it is 2 or 3. Maybe 4 to 6. Maybe it's just geographical. So Pillager folks can be with Pillager folks, and Staples can be in Staples, and Motley and Motley, and Leader and Leader, and wherever you're situated, find 2 or 3, 4 that you can meet regularly, weekly. In fact, John Wesley, for some reason, picked Thursdays. But every week, they met together to ask, how is it with your soul? We need to be little churches outside of the church to make sure we're free from sin, make sure that we don't regress and go back and blend into the world. And we need to be there to coach each other and encourage each other on, because this world's getting pretty violent towards Christianity. We need each other to keep the fight, to keep the pace, and to build our confidence to share the gospel in inviting and very loving ways in this world today. So the question remains, how is it with your soul? More questions. How are you caring for your soul? How are you allowing others to care for your soul? How are you finding ways to be the ecclesiole in ecclesia? How are you finding your way to find those two, three, those four that you can get very deep and personal? Yes, there's some exposure there, and there's some vulnerability with being real, open and honest with your soul and with your faith with other people. But that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to grow and to deepen and shed those things that so easily entangle us, those things called sin. So we need to find a way to be the little church within the church. And we should not only be receptive to care, but be capable of giving such care to others. That means making sure we're capable of teaching, that we understand what we're teaching, because we all need to know what we need to know in order to pass it on. So let's be those little churches. Again, share, empower, multiply. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have called us to be your witnesses unto the world. I believe the word that is used is ambassador. We are here representing you. To do that properly, we need to know how is it with our soul? Are we truly motivated to do this? Are we truly born again? Have we truly trusted and surrendered? What is hindering us from truly surrendering and giving our all beyond Sunday, beyond giving? It's nice to go to Bible study. It's nice to be here to worship. It's good to fellowship. But are we digging into your word? Are we banding together with other believers for accountability, for growth? We all struggle. There are things in this world that challenge us. Small groups will help us have victory in those areas. So, Holy Spirit, start knitting us together with people that we can meet with. Challenge us to find those groups. And through your miraculous power, just help start bringing these people together that can start to meet. Help us to have the opportunities. Our schedules are packed. There's many things that toy with our commitment. Help us to make the right ones. Our soul is important. How is it with our soul? Help us to answer in a truthful way. And if it is not so wonderful, Lord Jesus, help us to find a way to fix that, to fix it now, that we may be prepared, because the signs are coming that your son's return is not too far. It could be today. We want to be prepared. Help us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.